Honestly, bro, I'm not scared of much. I'd go skydiving, I'd swim with the sharks, run with the lions, fight a gorilla, beat some ass, and I'd even get my ass eaten. No, I would not. What the fuck? Wait, no. I mean, I'd even get my ass beaten, bro. But if there's one thing that leaves me scared shitless, it's a... But one day when I was 15 years old, my friends and I went to the gas station to get nothing more than a pack of Reese's.
Alright, your total will be $2.50.
Hey boy, step back.
I got this. Put it on my car, bro.
Oh, okay. Alright. You know, I don't think your machine's working, bro.
Hey kid, I hate to break the news to you, you know what I'm saying? But, I think your broke ass needs to get a job.
No!
So I got my first job at Jim Jordan's and I was grinding, bro. I made every coffee fresh, every customer happy, every toilet squeaky clean. I was putting the potato wedges in the goddamn bag until I stacked up my first few bands and I'd never seen this much money in my life. I thought I was rich, bro. So I quit my job. And then the government took some bands, I bought a few Fortnite skins, one ugly ass t-shirt, and before I knew it, I ended up exactly where I started.
Damn, dude, you fucking suck.
Your broke ass still needs to get a job, bro.
Man.
Firstly, my name is Chains, and I would love to work here at this summer camp.
All right, Chains, do you know how to read?
Yes, sir.
Do you speak English?
I do.
Can you count to 10?
Indeed.
Can you ride a bike?
Of course.
Do you like little kids?
Yeah, final answer, no.
All right, you're fired.
Wait, no, I love little kids.
All right, you're hired. Now take this helmet and teach those kids how to ride some goddamn bikes.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Really quick, how much do I get paid?
As little as legally possible. Now get to work, buddy.
Hi. My boss threw my ass straight into the deep end, bruh. No training, no nothing. Now what's crazy is every other worker went to a training camp and was taught exactly what to do and exactly what to say. But one of those dudes quit last minute. They needed somebody, anybody to fill in, and that's the only reason they hired your boy. Anyways, I grab a bike, go outside, and there I see my group of five little five-year-olds waiting for me. And I can see the hopes and dreams of learning to ride a bike glistening in each and every one of their little eyes. And I didn't want to let these little motherfuckers down, so I wasted no time and got straight to work.
Alright, listen, it's simple. You get on your bike and you just start pedaling. Like, look at me go. Right, guys?
Shit. Listen, teaching one kid to ride a bike is legwork. You grab the seat, you push them, they pedal, they fall, and you pick them up and start gaslighting their ass like,
wow, buddy, you did an amazing job. I've never seen somebody sweep the floor with their face before, man. Next time you can use your hands, though.
Thank you.
But the real problem is having five different kids with five different personalities and skill levels.
Because the first kid was named Miles.
But he couldn't ride a bike for 5 feet. Then we had a kid named Noah, who didn't know a single thing about how to break Parker, who couldn't park for shit. We even had a kid named Noel. But his little ass couldn't stop taking L's in James. But it was just one motherfucker, bro. Like, why is your name plural, bro? Where's the other one at?
So my group's out here looking like five chimpanzees on bikes with one bigger chimpanzee supervising them. And I look over at my coworkers' groups, and these motherfuckers are out here biking in perfect unison, weaving through cones. I even seen a little kid doing no hands, bro.
Hey, James, look, no hands.
Oh, shit.
Hey, James, look, no teeth.
So after painting the pavement like Picasso, we get under the shade for some lunch break. And talking with these kids was such an interesting experience, bro. Because since I was their biking instructor, they just assumed I knew everything, bro.
Hey, James, why is the sky blue?
Shit, I mean, it just...
And we even decided that it'd be a Monday today.
Oh, that was definitely Abraham Lincoln.
Why does my sandwich taste like pennies?
That's the taste of blood, my boy.
And what's the biggest number?
Infinity.
How old are you? 300. What time is it?
12:37.
Why do my parents wrestle without any clothes on?
Yeah, mine too.
So, okay, yeah, time to get back riding bikes, bro. But this time when we got back out to riding bikes, I set up a cone drill. All right, group, lock in. Here we got an easy cone drill. You know what I'm saying? I'll show you how it's done. So you just want to go through the cones just like this. You know what I'm saying? I like to call this drill. Oh, fuck.
Wait, what's it called?
I don't know. I think it's called fuck.
Are you sure?
Fuck.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely called fuck.
Well, that's a weird name.
Okay, who's gonna fuck next?
Yeah, bro. I'm not gonna lie, I deadass fell. Like, there was no type of biking test in order to get the job. All they asked is if I could ride a bike, and I can.
But I did not know we'd be doing NFL drills on these fucking bikes. But needless to say, when the parents came to pick their kids up from the first day of bike camp, they were not impressed.
Hey, there's my little man. What did we learn today?
Oh, you know, we just took the training wheels off. We got started on a few cone drills.
He showed us how to fuck.
Yeah, okay,
okay, man. No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is a catastrophic miscommunication.
And Chains told me I had the best grip.
Hey, yo, I'm that. The handlebars, brother. You got a specify.
Chains says I have so much potential for a kid my age.
Okay, yeah, that sounds bad. That sounds really bad.
And
why does all this shit sound
so
bad?
Chains said he likes me better without any teeth.
I'm just trying to cheer him up,
he told
man.
Us to always use protection before riding.
Okay, that's enough.
He just stopped.
None of them came back, bro. So I got a new group, and the best part about this new group of kids is that they were already level 4. Meaning we'd all just bike to the park, eat lunch, and then bike back. Damn, bro, that sounds easy as fuck. Surely this couldn't go any worse than your first group, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, nah, it gets worse. It gets so much worse. So for this little journey to the park, I'll pair up with my coworker Natalie. So Natalie's in the front and we got 10 kids in the middle. We'll call them Liam, Ava, Milo, Zoe, Tucker, Cornelius, Jackson, Bradley, Quandale Dingle Jr. the third, and Riley, which is the only name you'll need to remember. So I count up the kids so we don't leave any behind, and as expected, I count 10. So we take off on our journey to the park, and all these kids were really good at riding, you know. Out of the whole group, we only had one little fall. But I just scraped my knee, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even cry or anything, bro. It wasn't even that bad. And before I knew it, we made it to the park. We all put our bikes down. Natalie and I ate our lunch while the 10 kids ran around and played. Liam and Tucker were playing tag. Zoe and Ava were picking flowers. Meatloaf and Quandale were eating cockroaches. Riley and Cornelius were in the bushes picking berries. And Jackson and Bradley were wrestling. And after a peaceful 45 minutes passed by, Natalie and I round everyone up to get back in line like we started. I count them up so we don't forget anyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we head back to camp. And after a very successful trip, the parents pick their children up one by one until Riley's very sweet mom shows up with a pack of 20 Jimbits to thank me for my great work taking care of her child.
Hey there, I just wanted to say I appreciate you so much for taking care of Riley today.
Yo, what? Thank you so much. You really didn't have to.
No, it's my pleasure, truly.
Oh, okay, well, thank you so much. So, where's my little guy? Oh, he's right here. My heart drops straight to my stomach, bro. And as I'm looking around for Riley, I'm trying to recall the ride home, and I genuinely just don't remember seeing Riley at all. And that's when I remember I last saw Riley playing in the bushes. And this is where my heart goes back from my stomach and drops down to my testicles, bruh. To this day, my heart has never dropped so hard. This woman trusted me with her son, and I don't know where the fuck he is.
So, where is he?
Man, that right there is a great question.
What do you mean that's a great question?
You know, all the greatest questions in the world make you think, don't they?
Yes.
Right, and as you ask me this question, I really get to thinking, you know, like, I really get to rack in my brain, and well, to be quite frank, well, I'm stumped.
Okay, what do you mean you're stumped?
I don't know where Riley is.
What do you mean you don't know where Riley is?
Okay, yeah, let's just put it like this. Do you know where Riley is?
No.
Yeah, not me either.
Ice cream.
Holy fuck, he's right there.
Oh
holy
my god.
Fuck, I knew
he's attack.
Like, fuck,
I thought
oh my
this
god,
dumbass
right there.
Lost you.
I knew it the whole time. He's right there. It's April Fool's.
Give me these.
Yeah, take him. Oh my god. Jesus. God bless America. And that was genuinely the day I realized I can't work a fucking job. I'm not built for that shit, bro. I gotta start a Stickman YouTube channel or some shit. Halloween is the spookiest time of the year. Everywhere you look, it's vampires, killer clowns, old dudes in white vans trying to steal some children, which are all very scary things, especially killer clowns. But none of these spooky things scare me more than my worst fear. Going to jail, dropping the soap, and getting my booty snatched up. Now that's some real spooky shit right there. And I know some people are gonna be thinking, oh, that's just a myth, it's a stereotype, nobody actually gets their booty snatched up for dropping some soap. But when it comes to my booty, I don't wanna fuck around, and I sure as hell don't wanna find out. But everyone knows, drinking can heavily influence your judgment, and on one specific day, my judgment was affected, and I found myself fucking around. And everyone knows what the chart depicts. The more you fuck around, the more you find out. This story takes place in grade 10. It was a crisp Halloween night. The houses were decorated, the leaves had fallen, and the jackals were landing. lantern. And as me and Billy walked down to the homie Bob's crib, we could pretty much smell that Halloween spirit. And when we knocked on Bob's door, we were surprised the homie Bob didn't open the door. It was Bob the Builder. Dude was fully suited up from head to toe. And when me and Billy seen that, we already knew we needed some costumes. So we go to Bob's closet and come out absolutely dripping into Mario and Luigi costumes, mustache and everything. But now that we undeniably had that shit on, we still had yet to find something to do. But lucky for us, the night was still young, so we got to brainstorming. Alright, it's Halloween, bro. We gotta do something. Yeah, let's go find a party. Bet, let me check where they're at. Okay. Yeah, there's no parties, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could trick or treat. Shit, we might have to, bro. And just as 3 15-year-olds decided we would knock on strangers' doors asking for candy, our Halloween was looking grim. And not in a good way. But you know what they say. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Because Bob pulls through and sets up a goddamn 3-man mission. And just like that, Halloween goes from an L to a W night. And I thought the homies and I couldn't get more hype, that is, until Bob pulls out a bottle of Hennessy. And you would have thought Peach took the kids the way I was abusing that bottle. And we passed it around until we were all tipsy. Then we started walking to Chloe's house for the little Halloween 3-man. And it was already 9 p.m. at this point, so we're walking through the neighborhood admiring these decorations when we see the creepiest house of them all. It was Chloe's crib. So we walked through a whole graveyard just to knock on the door, and Chloe opens it looking like a whole angel. I mean like literally, like she had the halo and the wings and shit. So we go up to her room where her two friends Lucy and Mia were, and we sit on her bed, and I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward, bro. I was sitting there with my Mario fit, my little mustache, like, so, Chloe, why'd you choose to be an angel?
I don't know. I just liked it. Why'd you choose to be Mario?
Shit, Mamma Mia, am I right?
Shit. Fuck.
Then Chloe whips out some tequila and all of a sudden we're playing drinking games and shit. But honestly, I was just trying to get drunk, so it'd be like, haha, drink up.
Oh no.
Alright, it's your turn.
Wait, you're supposed to get it in my cup. What the fuck?
And after purposely selling multiple games of tequila pong, I was feeling what some would call completely and utterly drunk as fuck. And next thing I know, we're playing spin the bottle. And I was up, so I spin the bottle and it spins and spins and lands on Chloe. And in my head, I'm thinking, and just as Mario's about to get some peaches, we hear the door open downstairs and Chloe's like, oh shit, my parents are home, hide. So me and the homies run into her closet with a bottle of tequila and we can hear her dad come into the room.
Hey, what's going on up here?
Oh, you know, we're just watching scary movies.
Alright, I'll be downstairs watching TV. Let me know if you need anything.
Thanks, dad.
And once her dad went downstairs, we all came out of the we exited the closet and Chloe said,
you guys gotta sneak out through the front door. Just be super quiet.
And so we creep down the stairs and peek around the corner, and Chloe's parents are right there with a clear sight of the door. So we know what we have to do. We take a shot for good measure and then run to the door. And my drunk ass couldn't even figure out how to unlock this fucking door.
Hey, who is that?
It's a me, I'm Mario. Then we ran out that joint and we didn't stop running until I got a call from one of my homies named Dave. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now? Oh, nothing really, just drunk as hell running from Chloe's angry ass dad. Yo, that's what's up. Come link me and Joe at Stickman Elementary. And we had nothing else to do, so we pull up. And it's Dave, Dave's girlfriend, Joe, and Joe's girlfriend. And they got some couples costumes going, but I couldn't help but notice Dave and Joe were shiestied up.
What are you? If the Simpsons grew up in Chicago?
Nah, I'm just Homer.
Yeah, but I mean, Homer doesn't usually wear a fucking ski mask.
Oh, yeah, no. I just wore this because we graffitied the hell out of this school.
Joe was here? And Dave was too? Bro, what the fuck were you thinking?
What?
Oh, you want me to include your name too?
No, hell no.
And just as we become guilty by association, 4 cop cars come zooming down the street.
Oh shit, it's the cops, run!
And the cops hop out of their cars and start running at us with flashlights. So we head for the forest, but to get to the forest, we had to run across this long ass muddy field. And in the middle of this field, there was a huge pothole, and how did I know that? Cause I seen Marge absolutely eat shit right in front of me. And don't get me wrong, I was absolutely
plastered, but as the cops got closer and closer, I could practically see myself getting caught and dropping the soap, and you know I wasn't gonna let that happen. And so with all that adrenaline, I Mario jumped that fucking pothole and hauled ass into the forest. And right when you get into the forest, there was this deep creek with a log going across it. But when I look back, I see the cop's flashlight getting brighter and brighter, so I say fuck it and take a run at this log. I get a good 2 steps and then my drunk ass slips. Boom, right into the muddy creek. But I don't have time to give a single fuck. So I run through this waist high muddy water and then we regroup and check who made it. I see Bob, Joe, Dave, and Dave's girl. Yo, where the fuck is Billy? No, where's my girlfriend, bro? Oh, she ate shit a few yards back.
Wait, what? Is she okay? Did she get caught?
Wait, shut up. Billy's calling. Yo, where are you?
I'm hiding behind a tree right now. In the middle of the field. The cops are looking for me.
I bet we're coming.
I gotta go.
Fuck no, bro. If you go, you're gonna get caught. Listen, bro. I have to. He's the Luigi to my Mario. So I go back in to save Billy, and my main man, Bob, comes with me. So we get to the edge of the forest and see Billy absolutely shitting his pants trying to hide from these cops. But they keep getting closer and closer. So Bob turns on his flashlight, and both cops look at him.
He's right there.
Get over here.
And while the cops were looking for Bob, me and Billy both run for the street. And we ran and ran, but once we were at least 5 blocks away, we text Bob like, bro, we both made it, are you good? And Bob's like, so Bob makes it out of the forest and we all link up. And we take a moment to appreciate the fact that none of us went to jail, and more importantly, none of us got our booty snatched up. And after our moment of appreciation, we were like, yo, maybe we should have just went trick-or-treating. Yeah, bro, some Reese's Pieces would hit right now. I mean, it's not too late to buy some candy. So we all go to the store and cop the biggest packs of candy we could find. Then we walked back to Bob's crib and enjoyed the rest of our night while fucking up some Halloween candy.
Man, smoking too much, greening out, ODing on the devil's lettuce, whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun. But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. Man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times. And the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen, bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night, using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock. And I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kinda helping me out. Especially my homie Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him yeah for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling. Because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson, but it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy. It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eye starts to kick in, and I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me, and he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, He's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? Well, I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am. Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool. Hi, how are you? I'm not high. Fuck. She knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this. Bro, is mom awake? Bro, holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way. Huh? What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
April 20th, 420. The day when everyone puts their differences aside and they just hotbox the Earth's entire atmosphere. Man, what a time to be alive. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have gone to one of those 420 conventions before, but god damn. These motherfuckers be getting higher than Buzz Lightyear, bro. Like, at this point, they aren't even baked. They're fucking deep fried. They just be walking around hotboxing cities at a time. And anyone in a 500 foot radius is gonna start feeling the effects of that Mary Jane. Like, I remember my first time going to one of these things and I was still a minor with an O. However, I had done some pregame before the convention. So let me just put it like this. If I was a potato, I would have been a baked potato. So heading into the convention, I was already a little bit paranoid because as I looked around, all I could see was a bunch of hippie dudes with beards and shit. And at the time, I was just repping that peach fuzz. I was standing out like a sore thumb. So you can only imagine how hard I was shitting my pants when my high ass saw a cop walking in my direction. I instantly started brainstorming how I was gonna outmaneuver this cop so he doesn't send my ass to jail. So boom, busted a right, dropped the shoulder, hit a left, and I ran into this crowd of people. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, whenever something remotely scary happens while I'm zooted, I'm gonna be paranoid for the rest of my high. So in my high ass brain, I'm like a wanted criminal. I got 5 stars right now. So I'm out here constantly scanning the area for 12, right, but I start to make some notable observations. I realize half these motherfuckers are wearing sunglasses and it's not even sunny. Like, how the fuck did I miss the memo this bad? But luckily for me, there's hundreds of dudes selling overpriced random ass shit. So it really didn't take long for me to find a dude selling sunglasses. And even though it was 25 bones for these shitty ass sunglasses, I still cop them so I can hide my identity. And of course, the glasses have the devil's lettuce plastered all over them, but I'm El Chapo level wanted at this point. So I'm doing anything I can to hide my identity, including dropping my life savings on these dog shit glasses. So I'm out here pushing through these groups of people, but I'm keeping it low key. And as I'm scanning to the right of me and to the left of me, my dumbass pretty much walks right up to a cop. And the moment I realized that homie was right in front of me looking at me, I started to panic, bro. I felt like at this point, my best option was just to confess. Like, if I take the plea deal, I'll definitely get a lower sentence. But as I was stressing heavy, that adrenaline starts to kick in. And I know some of y'all can relate to this, but the scientific breakdown shows that when you're zooted and you get into a high stress scenario, the adrenaline gears up and starts beefing with the THC in your brain. Now, if you're lucky, the adrenaline will beat the THC's ass and will have you thinking properly in said stressful situation, which is exactly what happened to your boy. So as I transform from a baked potato into a less baked potato, this is where the table really started to turn. I looked at this cop in the eyes and this motherfucker was more baked than me. Like, shit, at this point, I'm about to put this dude on citizen's arrest.
Officer, are you baked right now?
No, there's a... Sorry, there seems to be a lot of cannabis in the air right now, and so it's like...
This poor officer probably had to pull an 8-hour shift in the world's biggest hotbox while trying to do his job. And needless to say, after realizing the officers were fated than a hoe, I had no problem walking around with my peach fuzz mustache smoking on that Mary Jane.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time, which perfectly describes your boy way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get-together for one of our friends' birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, because you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff. And the girls were just posted on the couch. Because, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch. Leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, I got a brownie. And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical. Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry.
Yes, please.
So everyone has their piece, and they're kind of building up the suspense, like, are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real.
No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high.
Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard
and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch, waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie. Bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport. Because I swear, when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee. Yeah, do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Sir, this is McDonald's. Yeah, yeah, and let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard. Dairy Queen, what? And, what kind of nachos do you guys have? I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out.
Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story. Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did it, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school. No. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentleman, I had realized, damn, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. What? You mean like talk to them? Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP. It's Bob! So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. And on this Thursday at 8 p.m, Billy pops his trunk to pull out 2 bottles of vodka. Now, if you were unaware,
It was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now, logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation. Fuck. Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. All right, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance. Fuck, that's not good. Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you? Yeah, same. We're good. And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction. Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool. That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah. Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, we do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious. Really?
Take them off, Dan.
Yes, sir. And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet.
No, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk. Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay, he's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask, hi, how are you? Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we're at the dance, and I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So, like, do you want to dance?
Yeah, sure.
It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand, so I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So, the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro. Your very first time buying from the plug. It's a special moment. It marks the beginning of a bond. A bond so strong and full of trust that it can only compare to that of your barber. Now, your first time copping from the plug can go many different ways, but my first time took place way, way, way,
back when I was 7. Okay, that's cap, but I was 13. Now, as some 13-year-olds, my homies and I were oblivious of how to get our hands on some sweet, sweet, juicy, succulent, magic broccoli. But you know what they say, if there's a will, there's a way. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. Where do I buy weed? And somehow, one of the first things that came up was some motherfucker on Reddit, like, just order a pizza? The pizza delivery guy stands a 78% chance of being baked. Just ask him where to find some gas. Simple as that, yeah. Man. Oh, bet. So we call up Little Caesars, like, hello, can I get a medium pepperoni pizza, please? Yeah. Yup. Alright, bet. And about 45 minutes later, the doorbell rings. We open the door to see some 48-year-old man who's probably going through his second divorce. Should we ask him?
Yo, he does not know where to find that shit.
That'll be $13.69.
Here you go.
All right, have a good day.
But wait, do you happen to know where to find some of that? Some of that good dope.
Good dope? Oh, I see what you're saying. If you wanted some ranch dip, just say that.
Nah. What he's trying to say here is, do you know where to find some of that good shit?
You want some good shit, huh? You sure won't find it at Little Caesars. This pizza is ass. Go to Pizza Hut or something.
Well, shit. What the fuck just happened? Okay, the guy on Reddit said there's a 78% chance. Maybe we just got unlucky with this one. And our dumbasses decide to order from Little Caesars again.
That'll be 13.
Okay, new plan. Yo, I think I know a guy. So Bob locates a local plug Snapchat. Billy adds him, and bro adds back. So now we've located the plug, but we had no clue on how to go about hitting this man up. Hello, Frederick Gordon Williams. I have reason to believe you are a plug, and will be able to sell us some devil's lettuce, as we are minors, currently 13 years old. Just give us your home address and we will skirt and pull up soon. Sincerely, Billy. Instantly blocked, bro. Looking back, we sent the most federal message possible. We hit this man with his government name and asked him for his home address. But we had no clue that was federal. Like, huh, that's peculiar. I wonder why he blocked us. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. How to hit up the plug. Be simple and forward. Use slang. Act cool. And after conducting a little more research, we were ready to try again. So I added him on my Snapchat.
Yo, Big G. Let me cop some of that gas real quick, Cronum.
Oh shit, he responded. How much you need? Shit, what do I say?
Search it up.
Three pre-rolls. Let me get 3 pre-rolls, fam. Alright, meet me at Stickman Park at 2:30. So now we'd set a place and a time to cop some grass. However, what Frederick Gordon Williams didn't know was that we were a whopping 13 years old. Keep in mind, we were still in middle school, but this dude was in grade 10. Shit, I'm pretty sure he was 20 years old, but was still in grade 10, which was pretty fucking scary for us 7th graders. So we threw on some drip we believed would make us look a little bit older, and we headed off to purchase some of Satan's spinach. We arrived at the park a little bit early, and as we waited, we discussed our plan. If he asks how old we are, we're 16. If he asks our grade, we're grade 10. If he asks our pronouns, we are he/... Bro, chilly, he's not gonna interrogate us. It's a simple business transaction. Oh shit, there he is. And as Frederick approached us, I could feel my blood pressure rising. Some would say I was shitting bricks.
Yo, you got the money?
How much is it?
How much you got?
Well, I brought a $50 bill. Shit, it's usually 60, but I guess I can do it for 50. Oh, thank you so much, man. Holy shit, this is a fucking steal.
Here you go, but remember, this is OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000. It got its name for a reason. Don't worry, we do weed all the time.
Yeah, we're super teenager and shit.
Yeah, yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Well, have a good day, sir.
And at last, 50 bones later, we had acquired some kush. Now, this wasn't our first time smoking, but our tolerance levels were low as fuck. So we pass around our first pre-roll, coughing up a fucking storm. And then we smoke up the next one, and the next one, until we're indubitably zooted.
God damn. Are y'all feeling it?
Shit, yeah, I'm feeling it. Well, what about you, Chains? Shit, I think he's feeling it. And as we made our way back to Bob's crib, my frame rates were dropping, my eyes were drying up, and my brain cells were unresponsive. In other words, I was fucking fried. We get back to Bob's crib and all I can think about is food. The munchies had hijacked my brain, but luckily for me, Bob's mom had just went shopping. Unluckily for Bob's mom, she was gonna have to go shopping again. The boys and I threw on the Amazing World of Gumball on TV and we fucking demolished every single crumb from Bob's cabinet. Cause goddamn, Frederick Gordon Williams was right. They don't call it the OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000 for no reason.
For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level 1. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4, there is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket. So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me! And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude, Ben, with the straightest face in the world. Like, this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says, in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Aw, hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind, my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs, and I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob.
There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
what now?
We could watch a scary movie. Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part. Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like white tea.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, It is open.
Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle.
But that was our only way in, so I held Bob up and through the window.
But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room. And then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor.
And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window.
Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying?
But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hose. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro.
But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real. Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. For Real. I'm Alice.
And so we all just started talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, we should. God. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time. So I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit. Like, what else was there to do?
But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back.
And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us.
Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep.
And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, cause if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, cause I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce my dad or something? Like get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, cause he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson.
Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna...
Listen, I know some of y'all have already gone to school high, but for those of you who haven't, don't do it, bro. I only went to school baked one time in my life, and after that experience, I never did it again. So, this story takes place on your average Wednesday. I was still in grade 10 at this point, but I have to note, I was not a super experienced smoker. However, with that being said, I did have some homies in grade 11 that let's just say they knew what they were doing. But still, my day started off like your average high schooler. Alarm goes off, hit snooze for 15 minutes, get up, stare at the wall for approximately 10 minutes, shower, eat, and head to school. This particular day, I remember being a little bit anxious because I knew I had to present my speech that I had just written the night before. But English is at the end of the day, I'm chilling for now. Plus, my first class is PE, so you know how it goes. I smoked some kids in dodgeball, I went to my next class, got smoked in math, the bell rings and I dip for lunch.
Guys,
see y'all boys.
Guys, yeah, peace out, man. I do.
So I link up with the gang for lunch, and we kind of mob around the school for a minute, but we end up just chilling in this forest right outside our school. And this is when one of my experienced friends whips out that Zaza. We'll just call him Jimmy for now. Jimmy just asks everyone, are you dudes trying to smoke?
Yeah, for sure.
Hell yup. Nah, I'm all good. At first, I was the only person who didn't want to. But as I sat there, feeling the vibes,
intake in the positive energy from the surrounding vegetation, I came to the conclusion the vibes were right. It was just me and my trusted homies, secluded in a peaceful area. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right? And man, when it comes to drinking, I'm a certified heavyweight champion. But for whatever reason, when it came to smoking, I had the tolerance of a newborn baby. But then again, what would I look like taking this lil ass inhale? So I did what any dumbass individual would do. Yo, look at Chains.
Yo, chill, dude.
Damn. So my friends are low-key hyping me up. And I'm out here thinking, I am such a cool guy. I am literally that guy. I'm literally that guy. But much like everything else, everyone forgot about it in 5 minutes. But I'm still left with all this tetrahydrocannabinol compounds waiting to alter my neural chemistry. So as we're walking back to the school, the THC raids my brain like the FBI. And I just eat the ground, bro. Had me looking like my controller just disconnected. My friends just look at each other like, fuck. Maybe you should just go home, bro. Yeah, dude. There's no way you'll be able to go to class like this. So we make our way over to this bench outside, and I'm weighing out my options. I'm trying to find the best scenario to get out of this alive. I narrowed it down to roughly 2 options. I can either go home, get whooped by my mom, and get grounded for another year and a half, or I could thug it out, just go to class, running the risk that my teacher might find out I'm baked. So me and my friends are brainstorming, using the good old pros and cons method, going home. Pros. Cons. I will get whooped. Staying at school. Pros. Cons. I might get whooped. Staying at school it is. The bell rings, my friends wish me good luck, but my next class was science, and I had the number one homie in that class. Bob. So Bob is just being a W mans. He's absolutely carrying me in this group science experiment while I'm literally passed out sleeping on the desk. Bell rings, Bob wishes me good luck, and dips. Now I'm all on my own, but I just got one more class. I'm almost done. What class do I even have again? Oh yeah, English, right? So I make my way to English, I sit down. Alright, so today we're doing our speeches.
Speeches?
And my English teacher was the type of teacher who loves to catch people lacking and just put them on the spot. So of course, he sees me on another planet and decides to call me out.
Chains, how about you go first?
I'm not prepared. Just get up there, bud.
Okay.
Alright, whenever you're ready. Chains, you can start now.
Okay.
So my speech, it's about... The topic of the speech, it's dinosaurs. So, Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, Chains, don't worry about it. You can sit down. You could just go tomorrow. It's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, man, this is why you don't show up to school high, bro.
Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, leprechauns, unicorns, 2 pretty best friends, and love. They don't exist, bro. I've looked far and wide, I've searched the depths of the valleys and the highs of the mountains, and yet still, one of the friends always gotta be chopped, bro. But love too though, man. I've searched everywhere. I've scoured my hometown. I've gone from the coast of Mexico to the cities of Japan. But one way or another, I always just end up with nobody to love. Or I end up getting robbed by a gay homeless dude. I mean, I was down bad, bro. It got to the point I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to find a girlfriend. Maybe this was just a face only a mother could love.
Ew, get that shit off the screen.
What, Mom?
So I hopped on a flight to Barcelona, and this story takes place a few weeks ago. It's a new continent, new city with new people, and maybe even a new girlfriend. And so as soon as I stepped foot on that Spanish soil, I downloaded Tinder and got the swiping, bro. Fine shit, swipe right, cute shit, swipe right, chop shit. Swipe right, bro. It's a numbers game. I done swiped so much my thumb had a 6-pack and I ran out of girls to swipe on. But shit, I mean, it's a numbers game. And since I pulled up solo dolo, I went and checked into a hostel. Now, if you don't know what a hostel is, it's pretty much like a little hotel, except you share your room with like six other motherfuckers. But to be fair, you save a lot of money. And I low-key don't mind sleeping with some random dudes if it means I get some extra change in my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Is 15 enough?
Nah, the hostel is like 30-something.
Oh, nah, I don't need a hostel.
What? Wait, no, not like that, bro. Anyway, sleeping in that hostel was fucking crazy, bro. Like, first night I got there, I hopped in my little twin bunk bed and closed the curtains, and everyone was like,
"All right, good night, boys.
Sweet dreams. Love you, motherfuckers.
Too, love y'all, motherfuckers." Yo, motherfucker on the top right bunk, say it back.
Good night.
And
I love you.
Love you too, bro. Lights out.
So the sun came up and my ass didn't get a drop of sleep. But regardless, I got out of bed, got some coffee, explored the city, hit the beach, got some food, all the normal shit you do when you're in a new city. But after a long day of tourist shit, I went back to my room. I hopped in my little bunk bed and prepared myself to open up Tinder after letting that shit cook for a solid 24 hours. And when I opened that shit up, yo, I got 28 matches.
Yeah,
thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Now, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Initially, that number 28 was looking mad nice until I clicked that shit and started looking through my matches and realized, yo, this shit is not a numbers game, bro. Like, you know you're cooked when the chuds are sliding on you saying shit like, "Hey, yo, I'm trying to put you in chains for real and then touch your stick, man."
Yeah. Yeah, nah, I'm deleting this shit, bro.
And just as I'm about to give up on my dreams of finding my other half, I get a new match. It's Yvonne, straight dime, certified fine shit, bro. I had to slide in with some heat. So I'm like, Yvonne? Nah, more like King Vaughn, because I'm trying to take you to the O. Love marriage. Now that would be a crazy story. Opening bracket featuring Lil Durk, closing bracket. And before I send her some absolute bullshit like that, she hits me with a, "Hey."
Oh, you know, nah, that works. What's up? How are you?
Great, how are you?
And we end up having a marvelous conversation. We share a bunch of beliefs, perspectives, and above all, we got the same taste in music. So I'm like, "You free tomorrow?"
"Yeah, I'm free tomorrow."
"What's your favorite food?"
I'm a drinks type of girl.
Say less, I know a place. I don't know shit. I literally just got here, bro.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
And just like that, I just got myself a date.
I'm coming.
Nah, you can't come. It's my date, bro. Oh, hell no. So that night, I did a little research and found the coolest bar in Barcelona. But when I went to make a reservation online, they only do in-person virtual queues. So instead, I went to sleep. So the next day, I woke up with some pep in my goddamn step. I looked at some fire architecture. I hit a mean leg day. Ate some gas Spanish food. And before I knew it, it was time to get ready for my date. So I hopped in the shower, put on my toughest fit, sprayed on a little Valentino, hopped into Uber, and arrived at the bar 30 minutes early. So this way, I could join the virtual queue in order to get into the bar at 9 p.m. sharp. So I'm waiting outside and find shit messages me like,
"Yo, I'ma be a little bit late. I'm still doing my hair."
And I'm all like, "That's no problem. I know some people. I can make some calls. Don't worry about it." So I walk up to the security out front like, "Yo, so fine shit says she's gonna be a little bit late. Can I change the time or something?"
"Nah, bro, just rejoin."
"I bet." So I rejoin, go sit outside and wait, and then I get another text message.
"I'm so sorry, but my makeup took longer than I thought, so I'ma be a little extra late."
So I walk up, rejoin the queue, and security's like,
"Yo, what's going on?"
"Ah, it's nothing. Fine shit's makeup took a little longer than expected, you know."
"Hey, listen, man. This fine shit of yours, you sure she's even coming?"
"Nah, yeah. Nah, of course. That's fine shit. She's coming." So I go back and sit down outside. But looking back, I definitely gave her the benefit of the doubt. But that was her first red flag. So now it's about 9:40 p.m. and I get a text message from Yvonne that reads, "I'm here." So I go to link with Yvonne for the moment of truth, whether or not I'm about to go on a date with fine shit or 50-year-old and neck-bearded catfish shit. And fortunately for me, no catfish.
Chains.
Yo.
Hey.
What's up?
Now, the virtual queue still had 10 minutes before we could get in, so we go and sit down outside and have a little chat. And it's a great conversation. We got a lot to talk about, and the vibes are there.
So you could travel to Barcelona alone. What do you do? Is it daddy's money?
Yeah, it's daddy's money.
Ah, okay, interesting.
But I'm daddy!
Yeah, I need to drink some alcohol.
Yeah, me too. me too. My phone beeps and it's our turn to go inside, but this is no regular bar, so I'm like, yo, just follow me. So we enter this pastrami shop, I open the fridge, we go inside, and we go through this tunnel that leads us to the bar. We order our drinks and continue talking.
Okay, so if it's not daddy's money, then what do you do?
And so obviously, I just told her, like,
OnlyFans. You're lying.
I am dead ass serious. My meat is all over the worldwide net.
What? No way. Show me.
Maybe after a few drinks, you know what I'm saying? And right on time, our drinks showed up and my shit was radioactive, bro. Like, here's a picture. There are no filters or effects on that shit. And I'm not gonna lie, it tasted exactly how it looked. But regardless, I'm tanking that shit and I don't know what it is. But that shitty ass drink was giving me superpowers, bruh. That shit had me cooking up the greatest answers to her questions possible, bruh.
Okay, so if you had one wish, what would it be?
Damn, that's a good question. Okay, if I had one wish...
Mm-hmm.
Period cramps.
What?
I would rid the world of period cramps, man. I hate the fact that they exist. Just even thinking about it, like, ooh, they sure do get me riled up, man. I hate them.
Wait. Me too.
Nah, that's crazy. We have so much in common. And from that moment on, I could tell she took down her guard and got comfortable. Cause she started saying shit like,
this guy from my school is obsessed with me and he won't stop snapping me.
Damn. Maybe you should stop responding or some shit.
She snaps a picture of us and captions that shit.
He getting it and you not.
Lol.
Red flag number two. What kind of anime villain origin story are you trying to create for this motherfucker, bro? But I digress. We order the second round of drinks. But as she's sipping that shit, I can hear an accent starting to form in her speech. So I'm like,
yo, where's this accent coming from?
Oh yeah, when I drink, my French accent starts coming out.
And I kid you not, she went from one drink sounding like,
yeah, so my favorite food is pasta,
to drink four, dead ass talking like,
actually, I changed my mind. My favorite food is croissant.
Shawty turned from fine shit to French shit so fast, I didn't even know who I was on a date with at this point. And then she hits me with a,
I'll be right back.
She grabs my face and hits my ass with a big ass swoosh. Now that shit took me aback. I was not expecting it. However, maybe it's just a culture thing. Maybe it's normal for her. So I can't say that it's a real red flag. So she's still in the game. And when she comes back, she's like,
yo, Chains, let's go to the beach.
Say less. So we're walking down to the beach and she says some shit like,
so when's the next date?
Oh, it's on Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh no, I'm not free on Saturday.
Oh, you mean date with you? Yeah, this is the last one. Now I said it as a joke, but she wanted to get all mad and shit and storm off. Now in this situation, I have two options. Option A is chase after her and beg her to stay. And option B is standing there like an absolute peak male specimen to the point the gravitational pull of my testosterone retrieves her back to the very location she left. And I went with option B. And she came back, bruh.
You're supposed to chase after me. It's like a French thing.
Ah, okay. I'm not French, bruh. So we continue with our walk, and I'm cracking jokes, entertaining her and shit. But honestly, that little stunt shorty pulled back there was red flag number three for me, bro. So at this point, I'm not in it for the game of love. I am simply just in it for the love of the game, bruh. So we arrive at Barceloneta Beach. We sit down, and at this point, it's about 1 a.m., but we're still chatting, having a good time. But out of the corner of my eye, I see a man hooded up, walking towards us from the darkness. And as bro's approaching, I'm ready for anything. I'm getting ready to take a stand, throw some hands, get in the sand. Should I even go ban for ban? But if this dude gets any closer, I'd be damned, and this motherfucker hits us with a drive-by compliment.
You have a very beautiful girlfriend.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you?
Damn, do you think he'll find a girlfriend beautiful like me?
Yeah, he seems like a great dude. I'm sure he could find somebody.
What?
I said, he seems like a nice fella. This girl slaps the shit out of me and says,
you're supposed to say, nobody's as beautiful as me.
Bro,
In this moment, I had never been so unattracted to a girl in my life.
Am I tripping? Or did you just slap the shit out of me?
And then she tries to kiss me again, talking about...
I'm sorry.
Nah.
What? No, what?
And even after getting my shit absolutely Will Smith, I'm still trying to be polite, like...
Listen, I don't kiss girls on the first date.
You don't kiss girls on the first date.
Yeah.
So, you're telling me, for a living, your occupation is laying down that pipe on film and then proceeding to post it online and you can't kiss me?
Type shit.
And she storms off, bro, but I know exactly what to do to solve this problem, so I stand there like an absolute peak male specimen to conjure up that same gravitational pull, and
she's still walking, bro. She just kept walking. She got on the bus. She dipped, bro. She left. Damn.
And as the bus disappears in the distance, I hear a motherfucker say,
"Yo, you from here?"
Nah, I'm just visiting.
Oh shit, okay, us too. You know where the good clubs are at?
Yeah, I mean, I heard all the good ones are like right there, bro.
Oh shit, bet. Okay, we're about to go hit those if you're trying to pull up, bro.
Say less. So these two random ass dudes I just met and I start heading to the club together, and I'm like,
"Yo, where you guys from, by the way?"
"We're from France."
"Yo, that's crazy. I just had a date with a French girl."
"Oh, no way. How'd it go?"
"Ah, shit. I think it went pretty good."
"That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah.
So, so why is your cheek so red?"
"Oh, I mean, she just slapped the shit out of me."
"Wait, she what?"
"Nah, I mean, it's probably just a French thing. You know what I'm saying?"
Not a French thing. You just got assaulted.
Aw, shit. So me and the new French homies pull up to the club and it's jumping, bruh. We start taking shots, shooting shots, airballing shots. And then I get a bunch of voice messages from Yvonne talking about...
"All the good feelings I had for you are gone. You are a literal piece of shit. Go get AIDS filming for OnlyFans, bitch."
Oh, hell no.
Okay, wait, let me respond,
And I'm drunk as hell trying to say a nice response. Like, you know, like, it's really like, it really is the type of shit where like type shit. Like,
and the French homies take my phone and start cooking her ass in French.
Now, I didn't understand a single word that came out of their mouths, but it sounded like homies just dropped a career-ending diss track on her. And I say that because as soon as she opened it, she blocked my ass, bruh.
Hey, bruh, you know what they say.
What do they say?
Getting blocked's a whole lot better than getting cocked.
What? There is no way they say that.
Yo, three-man alert! Three-man alert!
So the two homies start laying down that French wrist, and that shit hits so hard, I just got a free entry, bruh.
Hey. Hey, English,
room for one more? So the six of us absolutely fucked the club up, went out for some 4 a.m. churros dipped in chocolate, and man, that shit hit harder than Yvonne, bro.
So at the end of the day, even if I didn't end up finding love in Barcelona, there is one thing I did find.
I did find out how Chris Rock felt, god damn.
You know what they say, there's a first for everything, bro. Like your first steps, your first dance moves, your first words, dada.
Hey, would you look at that? We gotta get some milk, I'll be right back.
Your first stepdad? New dada?
Yeah, nah, I'm ahead of two actually.
And your first kiss?
Man, the things I would do to go back and completely erase that shit from existence.
Bro, all these Disney movies I was seeing as a kid had these first kisses turning ugly ass frogs into some fucking giga chat. And shit, like, spoiler alert, fucking ribbon.
On top of that, the fact you have to close your eyes, like, bro, imagine you're learning how to golf and you're about to take your first swing and these motherfuckers are like,
"Yeah, now do it with your eyes closed."
Bruh, this is my first time, what do you expect to happen?
Like, honestly, my first kiss is top 5 worst chains moments of all time, and let's just say it's not 5 or 4
Or 3. That shit was really bad, bro. So with that being said, this story takes place in grade 7, which is the year I got my first girlfriend. Now, I told this story a few months back, but I purposely left out the part of my first kiss.
Well, gosh diddly darn, Chains. Why would you do such a preposterous thing?
And the truth is, I was planning on taking this shit to the grave with me, bro, but fuck it. Sometimes you just gotta let the world know.
Okay, you're right. I got something to get off my chest.
Epstein? Wait, what the what?
So for the homies who haven't seen the video, one day me, Bob, and Billy were mobbing around our local mall when we seen these three girls from our class. So we walk up to them and lay down some of the meanest 12-year-old riz these girls had ever seen.
Hey, yo, shorty, I think I just shit my pants. Can I get into yours?
What the fuck?
Oh, shit, my bad. My fault. Hey, yo, shorty, are you a cigarette?
Am I a cigarette? What?
Cause I'm trying to get lit and put your butt in my mouth.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Please, 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 please.
Holy shit, bro. Let me guess. You all got restraining orders.
No. Worse. We got fucking girlfriends.
And 12-year-old me had no business dating nobody, bruh.
Like, my dumbass could barely even handle playing Fortnite with a girl. Like,
oh, hey, GamerGirl97.
Hey.
I'm kind of low. Can I chug on your jugs?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Whoa, I mean, I just want to slurp on your juice.
No,
I'm sorry. Ew. I mean, like, I need heels. Can I trade you? What do you need?
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you can get me some mats?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to give you my wood.
Huh?
Or bricks. Or metal. Or anything you need, okay. Anything else?
I don't have a shotgun yet.
Oh, shit, I got three. Okay. I can give you two pumps.
Ew.
Or no, it's one pump.
No,
wait. Oh, sorry, I can give you shotguns, I mean.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in this little wood fort I made.
Oh, okay, I see you. Let me come in your box.
What?
So, needless to say, every single interaction I had with my girlfriend was awkward as shit. Because I had to pre-plan things to say in my head, and as soon as that shit went off script... I was cooked.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
Honestly, just not the best.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do today?
Oh, I don't know. Just did my makeup.
Hey, me too.
You did your makeup?
Yeah, we have so much in common. Have a nice day.
Fuck!
And on one Friday after school, me, Bob, Billy, and our girlfriends all went to the mall together, as we did every single day. But on this specific Friday, we rubbed together a few brain cells and realized,
yo, do you got money?
Nah.
You got money?
Zero.
You got money?
I'm broke.
You got money?
No.
You got money?
Yo. Why are we at the mall?
I don't know.
That's a good thought
about
it.
I mean, we could all go to my house.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing? And so, of course, as the good kid I was, I text my mom to ask her to go.
Greetings, mother. I would like to know if it's in the realm of possibility that you'd be so kind to grant me your permission to visit the household of my dearest acquaintance, Nikki. Looking forward to hearing from you, your favorite son, Chains.
And I immediately get a call.
Let me speak to her parents.
Now, I, Chains for real, have never dated a 12-year-old boy in my life, and I honestly don't plan on it. But even in grade 7, I could use my logic and reasoning skills to understand if your boyfriend had to get his mom to talk to your friend's mom for permission to slide to the crib. Instant ick, bro. There's just no way. She'd probably break up with me on the spot. So I'm doing anything I can to not let that happen.
Hey there, Miss For Real. This is Nikki's mom. I just wanted to let you know Chains and his friends are welcome over anytime because they're... because they're goated with the sauce. Shit.
Oh, hey, Nikki's mom. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you over all this bullshit. You're not allowed at her house. Come home now.
Chains, are you coming?
Look, Mom, I'm not gonna lie. You gotta lock the fuck in right now. This is the first time in my life I ever been invited to a girl's house and there's cheeks up for grabs.
Like, Mom, this is my only opportunity. If you don't let me go, the For Real bloodline might just end with me.
Okay, listen, Chains. I'll let you go this time, but you have to be home at 9 p.m. sharp.
Yay, thank you so much, Mom.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but the point is she let me go with a curfew of 9 p.m. So all six of us leave the mall, hop on the bus, and get off at Nikki's house. We go inside, sit on the couch, and now... It's even more awkward, bro, because instead of walking around the mall, all we had to entertain ourselves was ourselves. And just like any other awkward middle school scenario... That shit went like...
Truth or dare?
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
And my heart instantly dropped, bro. Cause I knew if I picked dare, I would have to kiss Jessica and shit, bro. That's a whole lot scarier than playing Fortnite with GamerGirl97. But regardless, Nikki starts the game of truth or dare.
Hey, Billy, truth or dare?
Yo, truth.
What...
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, what? This shit's not even bad.
Okay, then Chains, truth or dare?
Truth.
No. What do you mean, no? It's truth or dare.
I said truth or dare.
Dare.
What the fuck? Okay, fine, dare. You have to kiss Jessica.
Bro, this time it wasn't a pickup line when I say I just shit my pants. I mean, not literally, but metaphorically, I was shitting bricks, bro. And when I turned to Jessica, she's just sitting there straight-faced as fuck.
So, Jessica, are you down? like hypothetically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in. Sorry. Let me just,
Hey, bro, I'm not gonna lie, this is fucking weird. You guys are just watching and shit, like, I don't know, it's just kinda-
Oh, so if we weren't watching you do it?
Yeah, I would actually- Wait, what the fuck?
Every single one of these motherfuckers ran to the corner and started staring at the wall, like-
Did you do it yet?
We're not looking till you do it.
Yo, hurry up, dumbass.
So now I got all this pressure on me to do this shit, but Jessica's out here looking at me like- hey, how was your day?
Yo, shut the fuck
just
up.
Just kiss her already.
What are you yapping about?
And I deadass didn't know how to go about it. I ended up sitting on this couch nervous as hell, awkward as hell, looking stupid as fuck for 20 minutes, bruh.
Now, 20 minutes in general doesn't sound that long, but imagine sitting on a couch in complete silence with everyone just... Bro, just watch this.
My brother in Christ. That was 10 seconds, bruh. Imagine doing that times 120.
So after the second longest 20 minutes of my life, I say, you know what? Fuck it.
And Nikki's mom walks in the room.
Hey, who wants snacks? Oh. And at this point, I checked my shitty-ass Samsung Galaxy 3, and it was already 8:50 p.m. And with a curfew at 9, I had no choice but to log in. So I lick my lips, close my eyes, and real quick, I smash our mouths together. And when I turn around, not a single motherfucker is facing the wall. I look the other way, and Nikki's mom is peeking around the corner with her fucking mac and cheese and shit. So I made like my pops, and I was out that hoe.
Pleasure doing business, Jessica.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Thanks for having me, Nikki's mom.
What the hell was that?
And I proceeded to sprint home, making it home at 8:59, exactly 1 minute before my curfew. And that night, when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep, bro. I haven't been able to sleep since. Damn, I should have taken this shit to the grave with me. Fuck!
When you link a girl and you both bring a friend, man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
And when you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty ass joke. Cause if you're in a group of six people and not a soul laughs?
Yeah, you're done, bruh. Like, you're cooked. You're sautéed, bruh. Like, pack it up, it's over with. Like, yo guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA?
Oh my god, what do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. No, I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo!
Fuck, I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts.
Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were no strangers to the game. Like, we had 99 chemistry, bro. We were like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, setting up these plays, passing, alley-ooping, and dunking that shit. In these streets, they called us the real big three, and one day, the real big three hopped on a plane to Mexico. And this story takes place way back,
like a month ago. And this story doesn't just contain one three-man. Not two three-mans, but three different three-man missions. And with these three different chances, will me, Bob, and Billy be able to find love in Mexico? Or will we get set up and kidnapped by the cartel? Find out coming up on this episode of Billy, Bob, and Chains.
Wait a minute.
So, boom! We get to Mexico and we're staying at an Airbnb, so we start with all the essentials. We unpack, get some food, check out the rooms, download Tinder, play some music, get settled in, you know, shit like that. And some of you may be thinking, damn, Chains, Tinder? Shit, I didn't know you were down bad like that.
And let me just clear this up, alright? I'm not, okay?
I'm down horrendous. And you really don't know me at all if you thought I was gonna leave Mexico without running a three-man with the homies. So I'm just doing what I gotta do. Don't hate the player, hate the game. So we got there on a Monday, and for the first few days, we're exploring, we're trying some food, going to the beaches. It's great, you know, a bunch of nice and relaxing shit. But at night, it was grind time, bro. I was swiping more than a girl with daddy's money, and I was shooting more shots than Drizzy Drake at his local middle school. So by the time Thursday rolled around, I secured the first
three-man mission
of the trip. And when I told the boys, they were hyped as fuck. I mean, Bob was so excited, dude almost made a facial expression. So before we went out, we had to get teed up. And lucky for us, we spent half our food budget on a few bottles of vodka. So we're absolutely down in that shit until our Uber pulls up. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off by some bars where we plan to meet the girls. Now keep in mind, at this point, all I've seen of this girl is pictures. And you know there's a brutal catfishing epidemic going on. So let's just say it's completely in the realm of possibility that I set up a link with three big buff Mexican dudes. And Lord knows I'm crossing my fingers.
hopefully there's like no big buff Mexican. I don't want the big buff Mexican dude.
So my heart dropped to my balls when I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around to see a not so buff Mexican dude with another not so buff Mexican dude with the three girls.
Oh, don't worry. These are just my friends, by the way. Hey.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, what's up?
And not only was I relieved that she wasn't a jack dude, but she was fine, nice, and she spoke English. Same with Bob's girl and Billy.
Yeah, nah, he had to take one for the team for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry, but this is just the way the cookie crumbled.
Shit, bro, can we get another cookie?
It's too late, bro, it's already crumbled. And Billy took that shit like a champ, bro. So all eight of us go to a bar and we're just talking, getting to know each other and shit. And I notice Billy just keeps the tequila shots coming. I mean, we were only 10 minutes into the conversation, but this dude is 10 shots deep at this point. And all of a sudden, this dude starts laying down that Google Translate riz, and he's dropping hard emojis and shit, and I'm like, damn, respect. I mean, he's taking this extremely well. And after about 30 minutes of talking to this girl, I look over at Billy and I start to see some wild ass emojis being thrown around. Like,
oh shit, Bob. Yo, I think Billy forgot he's the one taking one for the team.
So me and Bob cut him off of the tequila, and then my girl is like,
hey, do you guys want to come over to our place?
Hell yeah!
Is he alright?
Yeah, he's fine. So we hop in their whip and go to their crib. And at this point, it's getting kinda late. So we're just chilling, listening to music and things of that nature. When me and Bob realize Billy and his girl are nowhere to be seen. So I turn to Bob and I'm like,
yo, should we stop him?
Damn, bro, you're right. We can't let him do that shit. And listen, bro, I've never been the type of dude to cock block, but if it's the homie who's about to interlock with a chalk chick at this o'clock, I'll walk up, knock and lock, and block that cock if I have to. And so I did just that. I walked up, knocked, of course, unlocked the door, and respectfully, I blocked that cock.
Yo, what are you doing?
I'm taking one for the team, remember?
Nah, I think the team's doing just fine,
but
bro.
You know me. I was gonna do it for the team, like for
nah,
the
I don't think the team needs this one, gang.
No, remember, I'm supposed to be like taking it for the
Yeah, you're right.
Let's just go home, Billy.
No, wait. Well, how are we gonna get home? We're in Mexico.
Man, shut the
So we said our goodbyes, got in the Uber, and man,
I felt like a basketball coach whose son just lost to a special needs team, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. I had a lot of tequila tonight. I'm sorry. I just
Billy, like... Billy, I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed. Damn, bruh.
And the next morning, we woke up, and I'm not gonna lie, we felt it a little bit, especially Billy. Billy was in physical and mental agony. But we have a secret method to get rid of any hangover instantly. It's called vodka. So we're practically eating this bottle for breakfast, and once everyone was healed up, we hit the beach and had a fantastic day. It was stupendous, really, and once the sun started to set, we got some food, and man, it was gas, bro. I had the best nachos of my life, and as I'm consuming this orgasmic meal, I get a little notification on my phone from a new girl.
Yo, you got any friends?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hell yup. Then she's like,
I'm going out with some friends tonight. You guys should come.
And I'm like, hell yup. And just like that, we secured our second
three-man mission.
Absolutely house that fucking meal, go back to the crib, get ready, tee up, you know the drill. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off in the same area where the clubs and bars are to meet these girls. And when we get there, Bob and Billy are both praying they don't gotta take one for the team this time. And I'm there just chilling like, yo, this is why I set up the three mans, cause then I never have to take one for the
Chains, is that you?
Who's asking?
It's me, Sarah.
Oh, no way. Really?
Like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. You must be looking for the other Chains. No, don't worry. This happens all the time.
No. Chains for real. Yeah, look at this. This is you.
Oh, fuck. Would you look at that?
I guess it is me.
Fuck.
Like, shit, I don't know how she did it, but she got my ass, bro. I got catfished nicely. But I guess it was just my turn to take one for the team. And I look up at who she brought, and she pulled up with four straight dimes for the homies to choose from. Like, bro, why me?
So we're walking, and the girl I'm temporarily associated with is like,
hey, let's go to the club.
Yeah, let's go.
So we go to this club, eight people deep, and the girls are like,
yeah, let's buy a bottle.
Yeah. Where's your money?
¿Qué? No entiendo.
Wait, I could have swore you spoke English.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fluent for sure, yeah.
You said you wanted a bottle, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you got bottle money?
Ah, no entiendo, no hablo inglés.
And now I'm starting to get the vibe that whole time, these girls just wanted a free bottle. And as soon as I start catching on, she starts upping her game, like,
oh my god, you're so strong, look at these muscles.
So I go to give Billy one of those side eyes, and when I look over, these motherfuckers are completely lost. In the sauce.
Yeah, I'm buying a bottle. Everyone, bottles on me.
So Billy pulls me aside, like, yo, we gotta split a bottle, bruh.
Nah, I'm really not fucking with this girl.
Come on, bruh, please. I need it, bruh. Just take one for the team. Come on, take one for the team.
Alright, bruh, I'll split it with you.
Thank you, bro.
I got you.
So are you guys getting a bottle?
Yeah. We're getting a bottle.
Oh my god, you're so strong and you're a baller.
Yeah.
Baller, the fuck?
I don't know, bruh. She's weird as hell.
Yo, can I get a bottle for this table?
Yeah, for sure. What do you want?
Listen, bruh. Just give me the cheapest shit you got.
Oh, I feel you, bruh. Times are tough, you know? That'll be 1,100.
God damn. That's a lot of pesos, bruh.
Pesos?
Yeah, like 1,100. That's a lot of pesos.
Nah, amigo, that's USD. Plus $500 to walk into you with the Chicago fee of $350. And for the tip, it'll
just cost you your left test.
No, it's my favorite nut, bruh.
Yo, Billy, we don't got it like that.
Yeah, hell nah. Let's just not get it, bruh. At least these girls are already fucking with us without it, though, right?
Yeah, facts. Yo, we're not gonna get the bottle.
Oh, why not?
You can just
buy it. It's not that big a deal.
Nah. It's cause we don't got enough money.
They fucking dipped, bro.
Quick as hell, too. They all just evacuated, bruh.
No, bruh. That was my wifey.
And I'm just over here thinking, damn, I'm just glad I didn't have to see that shit through, bruh.
But Billy, yeah, he was really going through it.
Until he got distracted by some other random girls in the club. So at this point, all three of us are on the dance floor, absolutely fucking that shit up, when I start getting spammed on my phone. So I go to check who it is, and it's the gold digger girl, like,
hey, we all went to the club right beside it, but we can all split this bottle. It'll be $86 per person, plus tip, that'll be $95 each.
And she's literally telling me the whole price breakdown of this bottle. She pretty much just sent my ass an invoice. And I'm like, hell nah, I don't care if that shit would have been free. There is no way I'm ever gonna see this girl ever again. And then I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's three big
buff Mexican dude.
I'm just playing. It was the gold digger girl, but this time I probably would have preferred the buff dudes. Cause this girl grabs me by the arm, pulls me outside with all her homies, and starts breaking down the price again.
Okay, the bottle is $700, but you just gotta pay $95 each, okay?
Yeah, we're in. Let's do it.
No, what? Billy, chill.
So I call an emergency meeting with the homies, and we huddle up, and I'm like, listen, you guys can go with them if you want, but there's no way I'm going and paying for this girl's bottle. Fuck that, bro. You're right. We could find something better for sure. So we jump ship. Absolutely abort mission.
Yo, what's that over there?
I'm not stupid. I'm not falling for that shit.
Nah, is that Jeff Bezos handing out free bottles to catfishes?
Wait. What? Where? So we evacuate and start roaming the streets when I get a tap on my shoulder. I take a deep breath. Turn around, and it's the girls from the OG3, man. Like,
oh my god, Chains, what are the chances?
Yo, what's up? And me and Bob are hyped, but Billy's over here having traumatic anime flashbacks and shit.
You guys should come with us. We know the best spot here.
Oh shit,
yeah.
Bet. Fuck. So they take us to this club bar thing, and it's fucking bumping, but as soon as we get inside, Billy disappears, bro. And I don't even blame him. He's staying as far away from this girl as possible, not because he's scared of what she's gonna do, but because deep down, he's scared of what he might do. But regardless, me and Bob continue to respectfully obliterate the dance floor for about an hour straight, and then the girls are like,
hey, it's getting kinda late, so we're gonna head out now.
I bet. Wait.
Yeah.
And once me and Bob had officially decimated the dance floor beyond repair, we realized there's an upstairs that leads to a balcony. So of course me and Bob go to explore that shit. And as we walk out onto the balcony, we see Billy with this one girl who looks our age, who happens to have a friend who also looks our age. And once again, Billy is absolutely laying down that Google Translate riz, but this time he's really cooking. So me and Bob start talking to her friend named Mia. I get her Instagram, and then Billy's like, all right, let's go. The Uber's here.
Uber? Uber to where?
Oh, yeah, nah, my bad. I forgot to tell you, but Camilla and me are coming back to the B&B.
What the fuck?
Don't you think we gotta discuss shit like that?
Nah.
Bro, what?
All right, Uber's here. Let's go.
So Billy and the girls go to the Uber, but me and Bob stay back to discuss what the actual fuck is going on right now.
Yo, this is a bad idea, right?
But we can't let them do this shit alone. Shit, Bob. Do we even have a choice? So we leave the bar and start walking to the Uber when this girl stops me and she's like,
hi, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Chains. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Sophia.
And Sophia's trying to make some small talk and shit like that, but Billy's already waiting in the Uber, so I'm like,
well, it was nice to meet you, but I gotta go.
Oh, well, let me get your Instagram real quick.
So I give her my phone, she follows herself, and then gives me my phone back. And when I lay my eyes on the screen, I realize we have a mutual. And I'm just surprised, cause we're in Mexico, bruh. So I go to check who it is, and it's Mia. And at this moment, everything started piecing itself together to make our third
three-man mission.
So I'm like,
yo, you know Mia?
Oh, Mia? That's like my best friend. Why?
Word? You mean this Mia?
Oh my god, Mia!
So Sophia hops in the whip and we're all just talking, and then Mia says,
yeah, so like, we don't have work tomorrow.
Oh shit, do you guys work together?
Yeah, we do.
Damn, what do you guys do?
Oh, you know, we dance.
What, where do you guys dance?
Like in the club?
Oh shit, yeah. That's what's up. Yo, how old are you guys, by the way?
21.
24.
25.
Damn! Sorry. Do you guys happen to have any kids by chance?
Of course, I have two.
I have a baby boy.
I
have
one of them is
a
3-year-old
boy.
You know,
I also have two daughters.
Oh, fuck. Yo, Bob, you think it's too late to, abort mission? And I don't know how, but none of that information seemed to faze Billy in the slightest. Cause now he's out here making out with this girl, like, fuck them kids, bro. And the whole car ride, I'm just thinking, what the fuck is going on, bruh? But soon enough, we arrive. We all hop out of the whip, go to our B&B, put in the code for the lockbox, get the key, unlock the door, and go inside. Now for context, the crib had two couches and a master bedroom. And that bedroom is where I used to sleep, and I say used to because as soon as we got to the B&B, Billy and Camila went straight to my room and start playing patty cake. Loud as hell too, and so all of us are just sitting on the couch like,
hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Fuck.
And this motherfucker, Billy, was just making up for every single time he had to take one for the team. And after the longest 20 minutes of my life, Billy walks out of the room smiling from ear to ear like,
what? Well, why's everyone looking at me? Shit, you guys could hear that?
Then Billy cops the girls an Uber, they dip, and I'm looking at Billy like,
bro, like, what the actual fuck just happened?
Hey, man, listen. It's just the way the cookie crumbled.
Nah, bro, you are crazy.
And at this point, it was probably 4 a.m. or something. So I go to my room to look at where I'm supposed to sleep. And there's a bunch of lubed up rappers on my bed. And I'm not talking Diddy. So needless to say, after a long night, I slept on the couch. And we all woke up rotten, bro. So rotten, even the vodka method wouldn't work. So we decided if anything could make us feel better, it would be a plate of the world's best nachos. So we get ready, leave the crib, and then Billy's like,
yo, who's got the key?
Shit, I don't got it.
Bob, you got it?
I mean, it's probably on the counter where we always put it, right?
Yeah, facts.
We check the counter, it's not there. We check the tables, not there. We check the couches, bedroom, kitchen, nowhere to be seen. So we scavenged the entirety of the Airbnb. We even looked through every single bag of garbage and it was nowhere.
Bro, did those girls finesse our key?
Nah. Camilla wouldn't do some shit like that.
She would,
bro.
Yeah, you don't even know
bro,
her.
No,
this
she
is
wouldn't.
Your
How
fault.
Would you know her? You don't know her, bro. I know her better
club.
Than you know her.
I chill. Mia texted me.
She said, let's go to the pool today.
Oh, shit. Camilla texted me the same thing.
Damn.
And in my head, I'm thinking about it, and I'm putting everything together.
Shit.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
These girls stole the key and invited us to the pool so the crib would be empty so they could get three big buff Mexican dudes to pull up and loot the crib.
Fuck, I knew it.
Damn, she got my ass, bruh.
So hell no, we didn't go to the pool with them, and for the next few days, we were on high alert. We would only leave the crib in pairs, and one dude would stay back, strapped up with kitchen knives, ready to take on three big buff Mexican dudes.
Pause.
Until it was Monday, the night before our flight home. So we're packing everything, getting ready to go home, and I hear Billy shout, Chains?
Yo, what's up?
Yo, guess what I got, bruh?
Chlamydia?
No.
Gonorrhea?
What? No.
Herpes?
No, it's in my suitcase.
Your suitcase got herpes?
No, it's the key. How the fuck?
I don't know!
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids, and for as long as I can remember, Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking he's slightly restarted, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just two things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck.
Hey! What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest, this story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine's story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine's story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were awesome single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know. He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. Now, I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise.
But I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
Like, you're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we go to the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5 hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point, it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him. Nothing. Now, this was strange, because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle.
Tennessee.
So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out of the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know. It says a meat lover's pizza for 3516.
Oh, honey, no. This is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine-looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why's this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this
was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well... A man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one.
Billy fucking sold, bruh.
He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame,
Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it would save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in.
And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Ah, thank you.
Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all.
This motherfucker, Billy. Did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit. I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like...
So you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious.
Billy, you're funny.
Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in the big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy swished the shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bruh. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like...
Is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm gonna text you.
Okay, drive safe.
And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not dumb, bro.
Cause if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning... She blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter... being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah. I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Cause after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy. You know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude! I mean, first dates from dating apps is kinda like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause...
we had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking, until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate?
Oh shit, Billy Bob and Chains, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica. She's new to our school.
Hi.
What's up?
Hello, Jessica.
What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too.
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty ass username, like, oh shit, it's MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed. And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit.
Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy? It's a girl.
Man, shut the fuck up.
Oh, shit, you're serious.
Wait, so the whole time you were watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know.
And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
All right, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together. And boom, all of a sudden, we started forming a little friend group. It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki. And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing. But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica. And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a,
so I've been thinking, well, I like you.
I like you back.
So,
and I typed up, do you want to be my girlfriend? I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said, she was like,
yes, I do.
And call me Josh Giddy, the way I just bagged this 12-year-old. But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like,
hey, Chains, how are you?
Oh, you know, I'm good.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like, hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date.
Yeah, that's God, a great idea.
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro. We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro. But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first date.